Welcome to the November 28, 2010, 11 o'clock worship service of College Park Baptist Church. Today's message is by the Reverend Raymond Smith and is entitled Gabriel's Christmas Confession. If you are in Winston-Salem, please join us for worship and fellowship at 1701 Polo Road. You can find out more about our church at www.collegeparkbaptist.org. And now for our worship service.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We are so excited to see all of you this morning. We welcome you to College Park. We would like to find out who is in attendance today. The way we do that, this is for members and guests. We have pew pads on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite everyone in the sanctuary today to fill this out. Just write your name down, check the appropriate boxes, give us any contact information you'd like. Send it down so everybody has a chance to fill that out. We do ask, once it gets to the end of the pew, if you could send it back to where it got started. Once it gets back to that first person who filled it out this morning, if you could tear out the pages that were used today, that our ushers will collect those at the end of the service. So thank you very much for helping us with that. Several things happening today is the first Sunday of Advent. That means Thanksgiving is over and Christmas will soon be here. So that means there are lots of things that are happening in the life of our church. A couple things we'll make note of. Most of these are listed on the back of your bulletin. You'll find a opportunities for the week. But there are some things we want to highlight. Number one is, it is time for the collection of the Global Missions Offering and the Lottie Moon Offering. You'll find some handouts in your bulletin. We hope that you will make note of that and give as you're able, as God leads. So make note of that. Also, tomorrow I am headed on the exam pack run. We are headed to see, I'm not taking all of our college students one, especially Marcus Krotz, because he's here. Russ, you just get two. Is that all right? Russ, okay. All right, we are headed on our exam pack run to all the college students in our state. We travel around giving goodie bags. The way we do this is by your generosity. We invite you, those who are able to bring either store-bought or homemade, preferably homemade, that individually wrapped snacks. You can bring them down to the Adult One kitchen. We will be putting those together tonight. If you can get them here by 5 or so, that would be helpful for us. And we'll put those together, and I'll travel around Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. For the ones that are out of state, we try to get them by mail, a pack. So we're looking to send about 50. So if you're able to help us out with that today, would be very, very helpful. Reminder about today's schedule. During worship today, it is children's time. And we're inviting all the kids to come down front right after, I believe, the first hymn. Yep, right after the first hymn. We want all the kids to come down and meet with me for just a few minutes for children's time. Regular schedule today that you'll notice on the opportunities for the week, including youth choir, including the regular schedule for youth events. And all the music channels will practice, but there will be no handbells tonight. Is that right? Okay, no handbell rehearsal tonight. Everything else should be the same. Jason.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I want to let you know that one member of our church family, Mr. Bob Barnett, passed away on Tuesday night of this week. I asked for your prayers for his wife, Dorlee, and the Barnett family. There's going to be a service this afternoon at 2 o'clock in Francisco, North Carolina, which is in northern Stokes County. And Wilbert is going to be driving a group. So if you'd like to go up and be there for the service, they're going to leave at 12:30, by 12:30, from the church parking lot and get something to eat and go up to the service. But I want to share that with you so that you can be in prayer for the Barnett family. Obviously, we've had several losses in our church family, and let's continue to be in prayer for these families as they grieve their loss of loved ones during the holidays. I also want to share a special thank you. We completed this week an outreach project where we made a delivery and visit to all of our homebound members of our church and those who are in nursing homes. I want to say a special thank you to all of you who participated, which were many, and that was significant and important. And it's just so powerful to see this type of ministry reaching out to folks, especially those who are not physically able to come be with us. And they'd like to be with us, but us sharing our love and compassion on them is important. We're going to do a similar project for Christmas. If you'd like to participate, let me know. And there's going to be so many ways to serve during this Advent season, both to serve close by and far away. And if you are feeling led to serve, then just share that with somebody. We'll help plug you in with an opportunity that you can serve during this Advent season as we carry the love of Jesus Christ to our community and elsewhere. Thank you.
Thank you, Jason. A couple of other announcements we want to make sure you're aware of. Next Sunday is a big day in the life of our church. Once a year, our church people give over worship leadership to the children in our church. So preschoolers and grade schoolers will be in charge of worship next Sunday. It's going to be a big day. And we want you to make sure that you are here for Children's Sunday next Sunday morning. Also, for the youth, we are headed to the bus station ministry this Wednesday night. We'll be leaving at 6 o'clock. Hope that you will be a part of that. We want to say a special welcome to our guests now. A few minutes ago, you gave us your information on the pew pad. We have some ushers that are coming down the aisles now. We would ask for, if you're a guest, we would like for you to just to raise your hand as the ushers come back down the aisles now. Just raise your hand right where you are, and they'll recognize you. They would like to give you a packet of information. Inside the packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor welcoming you to our congregation. Also, you'll find a little bit of the story of College Park and a newsletter that tells you what's happening currently in the life of our church. So we're very, very blessed by your presence this day. It is time for us to begin our time of worship, the first Sunday of Advent. And as has been our tradition for many years now, we invite families to come and prepare to prepare us for worship. And today we're inviting the Prophet family to come forward now.
Isaiah 40, 1 through 5. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind together will see it. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken.
Romans 15, 4 through 13. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth, to confirm the promises made to the patriarchs, so that the Gentiles may glorify God for his mercy, as it is written. Therefore, I will praise you among the Gentiles. I will sing hymns to your name. Again, it says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and sing praises to him, all you peoples. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will spring up, one who will arise to rule over the nations. The Gentiles will hope in him. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Today we light the candle of hope.
Thank you.
deep in us, we know that you have spoken. You have brought us to this place to sing hosannas, to sing worship, to lift up your name. Be in this place, we pray. In this season of Advent, the season of preparation, the season of preparing for the coming of the Messiah. May we be excited. And may we be ready. And may we be yours. In Christ's name. Amen. This thing was so good, I had to bring it back out. I can't believe I'm doing this. All right. Has anybody ever seen this? Anybody ever seen this? Yeah, I got applause on Wednesday night, too. And what is that?
It's a turkey hat.
So why would I wear it on this week? Hello, Thanksgiving. Okay, it was Thanksgiving. But let me ask this question. Why do you think Thanksgiving is one of the best holidays ever?
Christian? Lots of food.
Lots of food. That's a good one, but it's not the one I'm thinking of. Caleb?
You get to shoot turkeys.
You get to shoot turkeys. Don't know what happens at y'all's house for Thanksgiving. Ours are already shot by the time we got them. All right? You give thanks. That's a great one. That's a good one. I'm not quite what I'm thinking of.
Football.
Football. Now, that's a pretty good reason, too.
Football.
Time with family. These are good answers. What do you think? What's one of the best? To have fun. That's enough. You want to know why I love Thanksgiving so much? Because I know when it's time to have Thanksgiving, we're just a few short weeks from
Christmas.
Yes, Christmas. But you know, so Thanksgiving is like, it's like a little wave saying, hey, Christmas is coming. Christmas is coming. Can you say that with me?
Christmas
is coming. But you know what? But you know what? Do you want to know the first person who ever said something like that?
Gabriel
the angel. He came down. He knew Christmas was coming. And he wanted to tell. And I'm going to read you a little passage of scripture. It comes from Luke chapter 1. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. He's talking to Mary. Who was Mary? That's right. Jesus' mother. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. And the power of the Most High. Who is that? Most High?
Jesus.
Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Yep. Who's that?
Jesus.
So he knew Christmas was coming. When you get to Thanksgiving, I want you to always remember Christmas is coming. And if, you know, all the presents and stuff are good. That's fun. There's lots of extra football and extra food around Christmas. But the greatest part of Christmas that Angel Gabriel was talking about was Jesus is coming.
Jesus was born on Christmas Eve.
That's right. That's exciting, exciting, exciting. Can you pray with me? God, we love you. And we thank you that we are in the middle of Thanksgiving. We had a great time with family. You have given us so much to be thankful for. But it is a reminder of what's coming. That Jesus is coming. We are preparing for Jesus coming. And that's so exciting. Thank you. Let every day that we have, let us be excited that Jesus is coming. It's in His name. Y'all have a great morning. You can go back to your seats.
Our scripture reading comes from the New Testament in the book of Romans, the 13th chapter. Casey read a few minutes ago from Romans 15. We're going to be reading in Romans 13. Beginning at verse 11. If you don't have your Bible with you, there should be a pew Bible located close by. Hear the words of the Apostle Paul writing to the church. And do this, understanding the present time. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. May God add His blessing to the reading of His holy word. Will you join me in prayer? Dear Lord, our hearts are very full. You have blessed us in many ways over the past week. Thank you for reminding us of our many gifts and blessings, for reminding us, as always, of the powerful role that you play in our lives, of your constant love for us that takes care of us on our best days and our worst days, for reminding us on Thanksgiving of many of the simple things that we take for granted every day, like food and warmth and shelter and the love from our families. Lord, thank you for blessing us the way that you have. Lord, I pray this morning that you will use our spirit of thankfulness and that you will use our excitement about Thanksgiving to draw us closer to you. that we will not leave that spirit at Thanksgiving weekend, but we'll carry it with us into this exciting time of Advent. And what a time, Lord, for us to recommit ourselves individually and collectively to you, to take the excitement about Jesus Christ and the birth of our Lord and Savior, who died on the cross to save our sins and give us eternal life with you. What a gift. That gift that creates great excitement. Lord, help us to focus on that. To focus on you this Advent season. To have our priorities in the right place. But most of all, Lord, that we may grow closer and seek a closer relationship with you, so that you may purify our hearts and minds and help us to be who you created us to be today and tomorrow and all this week and all throughout the Advent season. Lord, we know that you're laying things in our hearts. We know that you're speaking to us in powerful ways. Help us not to miss that message, to not miss what you have for us, because it's powerful and it's special. And we can be so much more than who we are each day if we're with you. Lord, thank you for not giving up on any of us. Thank you for not forgetting about us in our weak moments, in our selfish moments, in our prideful moments, in the moments where we think we can do it all ourselves and that we've got it all figured out. Lord, thank you for not giving up on us, but continuing to love us and watch over us. Lord, draw us closer to you today and tomorrow and throughout this Advent season. Use the excitement. Help us to be who we can be all that we can be. Lord, thank you for loving us. Thank you for loving this church and this community. Help us to return that love in some small measure with the way that we represent you, the way that we serve you, and the way that we carry out our lives for you. It's in your Son's name that we pray, today and every day. Amen.
During this time of Thanksgiving, I would like us to take a few moments of silent prayer to go to God and tell Him how much we are thankful for things, and then I will close. Thank you. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we come today with so many blessings, the blessing of more nourishment than we have needed, the blessing of friends and fellowship and those times that we've had in the last few days to be together and to share in thoughts and joy of times together, and continue to bless us, Lord, as we go through this time. And now, dear Lord, we're so grateful for the financial resources we have that help us with those blessings you give us, and now let us sacrifice some of those financial resources for helping others that are much less fortunate than us. In your most gracious name, amen.
Last week, we finished up our 1 month to live. I'm glad to see everybody came back. You survived 1 month to live, and we're back. And it is the first Sunday of Advent, and this is one of my favorite times of the year. I know with the 1 month to live series, we did kind of more topical sermons. The messages were topical in nature. And as we move into Advent, You'll find that the style of message may change a little bit. We'll get a little more exegetical. We'll kind of go verse by verse. And that's appropriate because we're talking about the Christmas story. And we're going to watch it unfold in the weeks to come. We are going to kind of organize around a new series that I've kind of put together called Christmas Confessions. And in that series, you will begin to see some confessions that lead us to the manger. Now, you say, well, wait a minute. Confession is when you bow before God and you admit you did something wrong. Well, that's one type of confession. But technically, there's a lot more to the word confession than that. Paul tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 13, that Jesus witnessed the good confession before Pontius Pilate. So a confession is a word of affirmation. A confession is a word of truth. A confession is a word of significance. And surprisingly, the Christmas story records a number of really good confessions concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to be looking at those in the weeks to come. The first one that we're going to kind of tackle today is Gabriel's confession. It's Gabriel, the angel's confession to Mary about Jesus. Now, Scripture tells us that Gabriel was sent. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 26, Gabriel was sent. Now, the word that's used here, or translated sent, has the same root from which the word apostle comes from. So, apostle, we know, is one who is sent with a message. So, throughout the Bible, we see angels as messengers, angelos, messengers, bringing news from God. So this morning, we're going to look at Gabriel's confessional message to Jesus. I invite you about Jesus to Mary. I want to invite you to open your Bible, if you would. We're going to read from Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 26. It's a familiar passage, but we're going to be kind of referring back to it. So go ahead and open up your Bible to that passage. If you didn't bring your Bible, again, there should be a pew Bible close to you there. Luke chapter 1. Beginning in verse 26, and we'll read down to verse 38. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words, and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I'm a virgin." And the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. Interesting passage. I know we've heard it. We've read it. Just about every year we read it about this time. But I want you to notice several things that Gabriel confesses, if you will, messages that he gives. The first thing that he told her, and this is a paraphrase of verse 28, but basically he's telling her, "Mary, your circumstances are a matter for rejoicing. It's a time to rejoice." Now, no doubt the kind of the sudden appearance, the dramatic appearance, the announcement from Gabriel probably terrified Mary. Let's be honest, it probably terrified her. The appearance was dramatic enough, but the news was quite frightening. And we'll talk about that a little bit more in just a few minutes. But in spite of her shock, the message was quite positive. The message was, "You are highly favored because the Lord is with you." That's incredible. That is an incredible announcement. You know, the phrase "highly favored one" means she was a recipient of grace and divine favor. What a compliment for an angel from the Lord to visit you and say, "You are graced. You have God's favor. Your circumstances are a matter for rejoicing. That was the first thing that Gabriel wanted her to know. The second thing he wanted her to know is that she didn't need to be afraid. And he explained why. He says, don't be afraid because you have found favor with God. It seems the typical response to the presence of the supernatural is fear. If you go back and you read about Abraham, you read about Isaac, and in the Christmas story, Joseph and the shepherds, the first thing usually the angel says, don't be afraid. You know, it's like we know that our presence here will initially frighten you, but we have good news. There's nothing to be afraid of. And that's what the angel wanted Mary to understand. You know, be calm. You have nothing to be afraid of. It's easy for them to say they're the heavenly beings. You know, it's our response sometimes that takes a little conditioning. But Mary did well. Mary did well. Gabriel wanted her to know you don't have anything to be afraid of. The third thing he wanted Mary to know is that you will have a son. Now we get to the meat of the message. You're going to have a son, Mary. In verses 31 through 33, he kind of lines that out for her. And you know, Mary probably, she hears the angel out. But she's sitting there thinking, right, okay. You know, maybe it was out of fright, or maybe still kind of a heavenly awe, which is a good thing that she heard the angel out. But, you know, that was probably a rough moment for her. In the confessional announcement, the angel has to kind of outline, okay, Mary, you're going to have a son, but let me tell you some things about him. Don't overreact yet. Let me tell you some things about your son. In verse 31, angel says, you shall call his name Jesus. You're going to have a boy? Call him Jesus. You know, that's the same thing that Joseph was told in a dream recorded in Matthew. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, the angel said to Joseph, you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Wait a minute. He'll save their people from their sins? Mary, probably at this point, thinking, this is starting to sound a little prophetic. I've read those words before. You'll call his name Jesus. He'll save their people from their sins. That's the first thing that Gabriel told her about the son. The second thing he told her is that he will be great. In verse 32. Now, being great concerns the significance of this child. No doubt, you know, he is the most significant personality in human and divine history. After all, he's God become flesh. God in the flesh. And the work that he is to perform, the atonement, the at-one-ment, the opportunity for God and man to be one through the nature of his sacrifice was something that's the most strategic, it's the most significant event in human history. He will be great. Definitely sounding prophetic here at this point. Maybe even the Messiah? No, surely not. Mary had to be thinking, no, what? No. But the third thing the angel said about her son is that he will be called the Son of the Most High. It's in verse 32. The Son of the Most High. Think back. I'm sure in her mind, she was all of a sudden, all these passages of Scripture that she'd probably learned as a small girl, and all of these passages start flowing back in. She might have even thought back to the Psalms. She might at this point recalled Psalm chapter 2, verse 7 and 8 that says, the Lord has said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance and the end of the earth for your possession. Maybe she recalled David's words thousands of years before, and Gabriel is announcing the same kind of message to her about her boy. The fourth thing that Gabriel tells her about her boy is the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. In verse 32, it's drawing back to the lineage of David. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. This looks back again to prophecies. If you go back to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 7, it says, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. Now we're really starting to sound prophetic. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. That's the fourth thing. The fifth thing that the angel tells her is that he will reign over the house of Jacob. In verse 33, he will reign over the house of Jacob. In short, Jesus is going to be Israel's Messiah. There, I've said it, Mary. He's going to be the Messiah. No need to look for another one. He is going to be the Messiah. And at this point, Mary is probably getting lightheaded. She's like, whoa, really? This is all coming too quickly. Think about the ramifications. A virgin hearing she is going to going to be the mother of the Messiah. And the sixth thing Gabriel lays out for about her son is that of his kingdom, there will be no end. Verse 33. No end to his kingdom. Many kingdoms come and go. In the course of human history, we know about them. If you go back to Daniel chapter 7, you read about him. You outline how the kingdoms come and go. And he's saying, of your son's kingdom, of Christ's kingdom, of the Messiah's kingdom, there will be no end. No matter what forces are arrayed against God's kingdom, it is indestructible. It will have no end. So there are the six things, Mary. That's the six things I want you to know. That's my confession to you about your son, the boy that you're going to give birth to. So that's about the son. The fourth thing that Gabriel announced to Mary is that God himself would cause all of this to happen. Verses 34 through 37 kind of outline that. God is in control. He is going to make all this happen. And Mary's response, how can this be? How can this be? That's what she said. But let's be honest, probably what she was thinking is, Well, there's a little problem here, Gabriel. There's a little problem. I haven't been with a man. I'm a virgin. And if a virgin gets pregnant in this culture, they don't live long enough to give birth. They get stoned. Not herbally, but metamorphically as, you know, rocks. They get killed. They get stoned to death. How am I going to give birth to the Messiah if I'm dead? How can this be? That's what she said. And the angel simply said, with God, nothing will be impossible. Wow. It's interesting. Gabriel's dealing with Mary is a little different than how Gabriel dealt with Zechariah. If you go back to the first part of Luke chapter 1, you recall that the birth of John the Baptist was foretold. Okay, and so, you know, Elizabeth was barren, Zechariah was on in years, both of them were on in years, and the angel Gabriel goes and tells them, you're going to have a son, it's going to be John the Baptist, you know, and Zechariah's response is, in verse 18, Zechariah asks the angel, how can I be sure of this? I'm an old man, and my wife is well along in years. You notice that wording? Maybe a politician. You know, I'm an old man and my wife is well along in years. And the angel answered, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God and I've been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day that this happens because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their proper time. Zechariah was an old man. Maybe there was a higher expectation of his faith and his belief than Mary at this point. But Gabriel deals gently with her. He says, with God, nothing is impossible, Mary. That's what Gabriel had to say to Mary. And that would make a nice ending But we need to see, okay, this is what Gabriel said to Mary. What about this applies to us today? What's the takeaway? What can we take from this message? I think there's three truths maybe that we can kind of land on. The first one is that because God's presence is constant, we can have joy. We can have hope. We can have peace. And during the Advent season, it's kind of funny because we have the different candles and we light one for hope, we light one for peace, we light one for one. And those are all, they're all tremendous, but it's because of God's presence that we have all of those and all of those kind of get intertwined. And that's beautiful because that is the message of Advent. Through Jesus, we have hope, we have joy, we have peace, we have love, we have all of these things. And so in the weeks to come, we'll explore those. But now understand, God's presence is the reason that we have those. Their joy is not dependent on circumstances. Joy is inner contentment that comes as a result of the Savior's work in our life. Jesus tells us that joy is the result of abiding, remaining in Him. Paul identifies joy as one of the fruits of the Spirit. But we know that, don't we? Joy is something that comes because of God's presence. Hope is something that comes because of God's presence. Love, peace, all of these. The second thing maybe that's a takeaway for us is because of God's presence, we don't have to live in fear. You know, our culture motivates by fear. They really do. I know you may not be aware of that, but it really is. If you'll watch, that's how they motivate you. It's through fear. And the angel is saying there's no need to fear. In Jesus' public ministry, how many times did he say, fear not, don't be afraid, fear not, over and over again, because he knew that we need to hear that. His love in us overcomes our fear. Knowing that we're in God's hands, we need not live in fear. That is our source of hope. We are in God's hands. With God, nothing is impossible. The third thing to understand is that God the Father has sent a Savior for you. And His name is Jesus. A personal Savior. A Savior with a name. A Savior who came to dwell among us, to show us how to live, to show us how to die, to show us that we would have victory over death if we have a relationship with Him. That is the message of hope. John tells us that as many as received Him, Jesus, to them He, God the Father, gave the right to become children of God to those who believe in His name. A personal Savior named Jesus. Do you know Him personally? Not just know about Him, but do you know Him personally? If not, why not? The Son of God wants a relationship with you. Why not? And finally, we need to understand that again, nothing is impossible with God. Nothing. In the Advent season, this Sunday, we recognize hope. Hope that God gives us. Hope that there's nothing, there's absolutely nothing that is insurmountable through God. Nothing is impossible with God. No problem, no difficulty, no stronghold, no sin, no habit is too strong for God to have victory over. Amen? Let's pray and ask Him for His help. Dear Father, we thank You for the blessings of today. We know in our head, we know in our heart that You are a God that loves us so much that You want us to know Your Son, Jesus. That You want us to know Him personally. God, we thank You for the gift that Gabriel announced, the gift of a coming Messiah, the gift of the One who would come as payment for our sin. Father, that gives us incredible hope. So forgive us when we try to run our own lives. Forgive us when we try to be our own Savior, because we know we're not capable. Allow us the courage, the strength, the grace to lean wholly on the name of Jesus. For it's in His name that we pray. Amen. If you're here this morning and you've heard the good news of Jesus, and you say, I don't have a relationship with Jesus yet, but I know about him and I want to know more. I'd be glad to talk with you. We're going to stand and sing in just a moment. I'll be here at the front. Be glad to talk with you about that. If you're here and you say, I really don't want to come down there, feel free to call me anytime this week. I'd be glad to meet you somewhere and talk with you about your relationship with Jesus. If you're here and you say, Raymond, that I am a believer and that message really connected, I need to understand this thing of the piece about not having fear and understanding God's in control. This may be a good day for you to kind of renew your relationship with God. You can do that where you are, or you're welcome to come here to the front. The altar is open. If you're here and you say, I love this congregation, I've been attending, or maybe this is, first two or three times I've been here, but I really want to connect with this congregation and be a member. We receive members by a number of different ways. I'll be glad to share those with you. Whatever your decision is, please feel free to make that public as we stand and sing together now. I invite you to remain standing for the benediction, and following the benediction, you may be seated for the response that the bells will give to us. Let's pray together. Dear Father, we thank you for the blessings of today and all that you're doing through us, with us. Father, we pray that we would take the message that Gabriel gave Mary, a message of hope, a message of peace, a message of salvation. Apply it to our lives. Father, help us to live lives that reflect the fact that you can do all things. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we pray. Amen.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's raymon@collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.